there, kiddo. What you got there?
It's knowledge, and it's extremely heavy.
Maybe I can give you a hand.
I don't think we can keep this up. So do you know what I think we have to do?
Drop some knowledge on you.
Well, now that we have that established, I have something to give you, son.
Ooh, what could it be?
5 crisp dollar bills. Don't spend them all in one place.
Gee, thanks a million, Dad.
Whoa there, that was quick. What'd you buy?
This bag of candy. But it's all gone now.
Well, now, that's just too bad, isn't it?
Now, why don't you give me 5 more?
Well, son, it's a bit much. How about I give you another 5 a week from today?
Aw, shucks.
You know what that's called?
An allowance.
How many of you have allowances? Well, maybe you could teach a thing or two to Curtis here. Allowances teach you to be responsible with money, instead of using it for something you'll regret later, like eating a whole bag of candy in under a minute.
I guess that's similar to God asking us to be responsible with our money and possessions, instead of trying to use them to gain His love, or the love of others. Right, Dad?
Well put, my boy. Well put. I think you've learned a valuable lesson today.
And I think I'm gonna be sick.
Before you go, take this. I think you've earned it.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for opening our hearts to your love. Continue to help us live our lives as freely and happily as possible. Amen. Good morning. I'd like to start out by telling a story of 2 brothers. The older brother was always annoyed by his younger brother and felt that he was of no use to him. The 2 boys' mother was very clever and decided she could fix this problem. She had the older son make his brother's bed each day. As the brother put time and effort into making his sibling's bed, affection suddenly began to grow until the older brother saw how deeply he loved his younger kin. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 tells us, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's an interesting verse. While Matthew is giving us direction, it still leaves so much to be decided by us as followers of the scripture, since God also gave us free will. Jesus doesn't say exactly what our treasure will or should be, but simply that whatever we hold as a prized possession is where we will place our love. If you think about it, that's a pretty amazing thing to do. Jesus knew that we would be tempted, misguided, and blinded by the evils of this material world. But he loved us so much that he gave us the choice to make the tough decisions ourselves. We look for comfort among tragedies like hunger and poverty in our world. Comfort that brings peace to our mind and nourishment to our soul. Comfort that awakens you and numbs you at the same time. But where to find this comfort? God gives us freedom to choose, but also gave us Jesus and the apostles to guide us. Matthew is giving us that guidance, and God sets before us many open doors. It's up to us whether we walk through them or not. In 1964, the Beatles hit it big. Their songs, especially "Can't Buy Me Love," reflected a time of optimism that was unique. "Can't Buy Me Love" spoke to a time when it seemed that endless possibilities and open doors were ahead. By the end of that decade, the doors seemed to be shutting. Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy were assassinated, the Vietnam War was changing our country forever, and the Beatles were no more. We seem to be in a different place now, a place where we value possessions and money more than ever. Does an old song by the Beatles even ring true anymore? I say it does. Here at Old South, we walk under a portal that reads, Behold, I set before thee an open door. I think of all the open doors before me, so many at the age of 17. Like Brandon Flowers sings in the killer song, Human, sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, cut the cord. Are we human or are we dancer? Put another way, are we flesh or are we spirit? I say dancer or spirit first, encased in a body. Dancing roughly 17 hours a week with Boston Youth Moves, I am dedicated and passionate about dance. It has been a constant in my life for the past 13 years and is now a vital part of who I am. I dance because I want to fully use the body God has blessed me with. I love how selfless I feel when just letting go of everything else around me. I dance because it is my treasure, and there my heart is also. In the words of Martha Graham, a pioneer of modern dance, I am a dancer. I believe that we learn by practice, whether it means to learn to dance by practicing dancing, or to learn to live by practicing living. In each, it is the performance of a dedicated, precise set of acts, physical or intellectual, from which comes shape of achievement, a sense of one's being, a satisfaction of spirit. One becomes, in some area, an athlete of God. Being an athlete of God, now that is truly priceless. As a junior in high school, I feel as though I am constantly being asked to decide the rest of my life. Whenever I am asked about my plan for after high school, I have one definite response. I just want to dance. I am often asked questions such as, why do you dance? Or what is your goal? And my personal favorite, can you do that as a job? I can honestly say that while dancing, I am the closest to God I could ever be. I'm stretching the body I've been blessed with to its fullest extent, using every emotion and every muscle to fly across the floor. I feel I'm home, and that is an irreplaceable feeling. However, choosing dance as my career goal has opened my eyes to some financial realities. The life of a dancer is very strenuous, working show to show, and they certainly don't make a lot of money. But in the end, I know that as long as my treasures are pure and true, my heart will be content. I also know that what I take from dance will be permanent and lasting, as it is part of my spirit. It's not that money is bad. No, far from it. We need it to live in this world. Like George Bailey tells the angel Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub. No, money is not bad. It's just that we really can't take it with us. It's the way we both use and abuse it that can make or break us as flawed humans. It's good, but there's something better. And that is simply love. Things that touch our spirit, we keep. We keep love. Love of each other, and most importantly, love for Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. So, I encourage you to walk through that open door and make your brother's bed. Dance like no one's watching, and lay up treasures in your spirit. Immerse yourself in all that is God in Jesus Christ. Allow them to set passion on fire in your soul. Then, truly, as the Beatles also said, the love you take will be equal to the love you make.
Picture a large gold and beautifully inscribed chest, filled to the brim with gold coins and elaborate jewelry, pearls, rubies, emeralds. If such a present was given to you, you might think to jump for joy. But alas, we find the things that will give you lasting joy do not have a price tag. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This verse from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, offers profound insight. While owning many expensive possessions on earth may give way to jealousy from your neighbors, it will not lend to lasting happiness or satisfaction. To be truly happy, we need to find treasures that cannot expire or wear down or be gobbled up. These treasures will give us spiritual content, as opposed to the comfort of wealth or material possessions. It is not necessarily true that God condemns earthly possessions, rather, our opinion of them. It is not what we own, but how we view and value what we own, and that what we own on earth is not what ultimately gives us happiness. If our goals and achievements all stem from obtaining great wealth or other worldly things, we will never be able to feel fully satisfied or fulfilled. When I was younger, I used to place great value on how much somebody owned, the size of their house, what clothes they wore, and even place pressure on myself to live up to those standards. As I grew older, though, I began to see a pattern. The people who were truly the happiest were the ones who felt validated by the work and service for others that they did, or the art they created, not by what they owned. Great wealth, I saw, did not, in almost every instance, lead to lasting happiness. Maybe a momentary surge of euphoria, but ultimately, nothing ever came from wealth. At around the same time I started noticing that, I became interested in social justice, standing up for what I believed in and crying out against what I thought was wrong. The people I admired switched from glamorous celebrities to amazing activists who were ever persistent and passionate. I realize now that that is the type of person I want to be. When I look back at my life, I want to see achievement in the form of having made a change. Now, in my life, I get comfort from knowing that I will not simply focus on how luxuriously I can live, or how successful I will ever be, or what my salary will be, but rather on how I can stay true to myself and help, in my own way, to serve God by standing up to the many injustices of the world. Money could never replace the satisfaction I get from speaking up against violence and crimes, inequality and oppression. Amen.